This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning. Welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
Oh, it is so crisp and beautiful. The sky is just azure blue. It is gorgeous. Not a cloud.
Yeah, it is a beautiful morning. We were just talking about the bird baths, because we both have bird baths and on our properties. And there was a little layer of ice there, and you said the Blue Jays just pecked their way through it, right?
They did. And I have a bird bath heater, which I actually got from the Urban Nature Store, which is a godsend in January. Yeah. But I don't want to put that out yet because the extension cord goes across my lawn, and I still have to do the final lawn mowing before, you know, we shut down the lawn equipment.
Yes. Yeah. I have it on my list to get one of those too. And I'm going to get myself over to Urban Nature Stores as well. Talk to Paul Oliver and say, which of these heated bird baths should I be getting?
It's actually not a heated bird bath. It's a gizmo that sits in the bird bath. You will have your chance to chat up Paul Oliver from the Urban Nature Store 2 weeks from today. He'll be joining us. Well, he'll be in studio, and hopefully you will too.
Okay.
I will, to chat about all things urban and all things natural and lots of bird stuff.
Okay, beautiful. Love it. I know you have a couple of announcements. Before we do that, let me give out the numbers, okay? Because we'd love to start getting people on the lines while we're doing this. If you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740 is the number if you live outside Toronto, but still within the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And please do let our producer, Anthony, know if you're a first-time caller, because I'll give you those, the garden wings, love to do it. And important, call often, call early, and please, one question per call. Okay, Charlie, you got a couple of announcements.
I do. So this Wednesday, November 13th, the Burlington Horticultural Society is meeting, starting at 6:30, with a potluck dinner. The actual meeting will, of course, come after the dinner. Room 3, Burlington Seniors Center, 2285 New Street in Burlington. The subject is the edible history of Urchless Estate in Oakville. So I don't actually know what Urchless Estate is, but I guess it's an old estate. But the edible history, brought to you by Carolyn Cross and Daniel Duval, both of whom are from, one is from the Oakville Museum and the other is from the Oakville Hort Department. So that'll be fun and interesting and educational. Same evening, November 13th, 7 p.m., the Riverdale Horticultural Society is hosting a hybrid meeting. They're very good at that. They do, so you can join in this meeting via Zoom if you're too far away or don't want to go out in the evening, or you can actually attend at the Franklin Community Center in the Riverdale area. Their speaker is Michael Erdman, and his topic is Optimists Plant Spring Bulbs, which is sweet. That's absolutely true. Yeah, you plant now for beauty in the spring. For those people attending in person, there will be absolutely delicious treats, according to Heather Sinopoli. For more information, riverdalehorticultural.ca.
Okie dokie. Okay, we're good. Those are the announcements.
That's it.
Excellent. Okay, give us a call. If you have an indoor gardening question, it could be an outdoor gardening question, could be a, you know, what do I do with my lawn this time of year? Or should I trim my shrub? Whatever it is, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio on this 9th of November. Here we are tripping along. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, Remembrance Day on Monday. I've been proudly wearing, speaking of things, Flora, my poppy, wearing that. And then after that, of course, we've already seen the signs. Then we go full steam ahead into the holiday season, hey? Christmas and Hanukkah and all those things.
All coming, yep.
Yes, indeed. Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have Gabriella on the line. She's calling from Richmond Hill. Welcome to The Garden Show, Gabriella.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Morning.
Yeah. What do you got for Charlie there?
Well, I have a blueberry bush. It's so close to 10 years old. When I purchased it, they had a blueberry on, but I never had any blueberries since all those years. It's quite about 4 feet high by 3 feet wider. And now they have a very little small, I don't know if it's a leaves or something, like very light green, but there is no leaves on it because of the fall, you know. I don't know what I did, what's wrong with the plant. I bought another tree because they say you have to have more than one plant. I bought another tree, but the older one, it never gave me blueberries. Should I cut it back? What should I do?
Okay, so you're right. You do need two blueberries minimum to get any fruit. They have to be different varieties. So there are cultivars, there are names when you buy blueberries. They can't be the same. They have to be two different names. So, and they have very specific planting location. You want pretty bright sun, but not hot, direct southern dry exposure. You need a bright spot. You need acidic soil. So the soil has to be a pH down around the 5 point. So you need to have the ability to test your pH, which pH testing is not that hard. You pick up a pH tester at your local garden center or Canadian Tire. And of course, they have to flower in order to fruit. So it starts with flowers, and then the flowers, you know, are pollinated theoretically by each other, and then you get fruit. So, I mean, it's hard to diagnose over the radio. It sounds like the plants are alive and happy. Your main challenge is to get them flowering. And yes, cutting back is certainly fine. I would do that in the very late winter, early spring. And at the same time, I would be grabbing some peat moss or soil acidifier, because I'm sure your pH is probably higher than it should be, and you want a low pH for blueberries. So yeah, they're pretty specific what they want, but of course when they're thriving, they're the best thing ever.
Yeah, in the spring I see very little thing. It looks like it's long, skinny and long. They are not flower, they are not fruit. I don't know what they are, but I never see the fruit. The other one that I purchased, I don't remember the name of it. I purchased the same place where I bought the original one. So I don't know.
Me neither. So you know what? In the spring, take a photograph and email to me what they look like. I can help you far better with a photo than over the radio and over the phone. But yeah, if they're just looking odd in the spring, just email me at c.dobbin@mzmedia.com.
Yeah, and we'll give out that email at the before the end of the show as well. Okay, Gabriel, thank you so much for the call. And we are going to go, we'll go to our next call. We have Jeff on the line from North Bay. Welcome to The Garden Show, Jeff.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Hi. Quick question. I'm transplanting some indoor plants to larger pots. Do I need to put stones in the bottom to block the holes?
Okay, that is a great question. A lot of people think that they need to put stones, not so much to block the holes, other than if they're really big holes, sometimes we'll put a shard to help the soil from washing out of the holes. But otherwise, no, never, ever, ever put rocks or gravel into your pots, because all you're doing is taking away soil from the roots. But you want to maximize soil for the roots. And as soon as you buy a nice pot and you fill it up with rocks and soil, you're not putting as much soil as you could. So no, I would not ever put gravel or rocks unless, like I said, they're really big holes and the soil is likely to wash through.
Okay, so when I water my plants, I water them until I get a little bit of water in the bottom of the container they're sitting in. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I thought that the rocks would go in, is to so that they wouldn't be sitting in wet, wet, wet soil all the time as this water around them gets absorbed? Mm-hmm. Or should you throw that water out if it's?
Yeah, you know what I usually do? I agree with you. When you water, water thoroughly so that the water does go through into the saucer below, then just keep an eye. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. If the water is still there 10 or 15 minutes later, then yes, dump it in the sink and put everything back where it was. But typically, if the plant really needed water, you'll find that 10 or 15 minutes later, that water will be gone.
Okay. Okay, good. Thanks.
And Jeff, you are a first-time caller, are you not?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Welcome.
So
yeah.
I need to give you garden wings. I should have done that right at the beginning of the call, but yeah.
Thank you for calling. Don't be a stranger, Jeff.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Okay, here are the numbers again to call. If you live in Toronto, the number is 416-360-0740. If you live outside Toronto, just like Jeff there in North Bay, anywhere in the province of Ontario, you need to use this number, 1-866-740-4740. Okay, now we have lots of room on the lines, so give us a call now. If you've never called before, today is probably the day. Okay, don't be shy. We would love to talk to you. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, before we go to our next caller, because we were getting some on the line there, I do have one question.
Uh-huh.
Dean doesn't always ask a question, but I do. Okay. We have actually not yet moved in our jade plant. So it's been outside and it's been happy. It's happy. It's got, we were actually thinking it was on its way out, but it's got a whole bunch of new stuff.
Good.
So we're thinking about moving it into our bedroom. We have two windows in our bedroom. One faces the west, one faces the north. And we were going to put it in the corner sort of between those two windows. Will that be enough light?
Hmm. And it's been outside in lots of sun.
Lots of sun. It's been summer. It's on the south side of our house, so it's been getting that south sun.
So what'll happen probably, because the way it works with plants is they get what's the word? Sort of they grow leaves and stems. They grow plant parts that are consistent with the amount of light they're in.
Okay.
So that's why when our plants are out in the sun all summer, and then we bring them inside, even if we go right into a southern window, it's still less light than what they had outside. And quite often they will respond by dropping those leaves and having to grow new ones that will be ready to go in that new location. So that would be my one hesitation from going from that bright outdoor sunny location into what will be bright but indirect sun. So we if in a best case, yeah, I call it reverse hardening off. You know what we do in the spring, how we take plants out, but we take them slowly and gently. We start an hour a day in the shade, and then we move them slowly out into the real world. Same thing coming in. You want to start setting them up for less light. So you want to get them into a lower light situation outside, even for a week or two before they come in. And again, usually you want to give them the brightest spot you possibly can.
Okay, I can do that as well. Okay, perfect. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Helen on the line. Helen is calling from Scarborough. Welcome to The Garden Show, Helen.
Oh, hello, Charlie. Morning. Love your show, Charlie.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Oh, good. I just want to ask you about my lawn. It's covered in leaves. Is it okay to go over it with the lawnmower and leave it?
Perfect. Absolutely, yes. No, oh, go over a couple of times, depending on what kind of leaves they are. You know, if they're big maple leaves, then I'd go both directions. Like, you know, really chop those leaves up until they're the size of a quarter.
Oh, so I can go over them a couple of times then?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, that's
definitely
wonderful.
And leave them on the lawn. They're the best.
Okay, thank you ever so much. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
Thanks for the call there, Helen. And what's more, Helen's going to get her steps too.
Yeah, yeah. Go back and forth, back and forth. And then diagonally. Yeah, it just always depends because You know, honey locust is a tree very commonly planted as a street tree, and they have tiny little leaves, mm-hmm. and they're the best because you can't rake them even if you tried. So they will sometimes get chewed up a bit in the lawnmower and drop down as little shreds. But either way, they're the best leaves ever on a lawn because you really don't have to do anything. They just disappear.
Right. I was telling my wife a couple of weeks ago that, as Charlie says, you want to get them to about the size of a quarter. You know, just shred them all up and have them little pieces like that.
Yep, and they will decompose very quickly.
Beautiful. Okay, our next caller, we've got Kathy on the line from Thornhill. Welcome to the Garden Show, Kathy.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I love your show. I have four bougainvillea plants that are like 7 feet high.
Wow.
And I need to know how to bring them in my house for the winter.
Those are huge. Are they new this season? Did you just buy them in the spring?
I have one that's so old, it's like a tree, and that mm-hmm. I've had for at least 10 years, and it's beautiful. And then I made the mistake of buying three more this year that were not so big, but they're huge.
Okay, so you've had experience keeping the one for the last 10 years in and out, you know, in for the winter, out for the summer. So will you be able to, I mean, you've obviously done something right with the one. Can you do that same thing with all four?
Yes, I'm trying to pass them on to my kids to use their windows for me.
Sweet. That's exactly the right thing to do. Call in the family, the troops.
Right?
Yeah, they do want lots of light. I mean, I know people have kept bougainvillea alive in a semi-dormant state as opposed to a houseplant in full sun. You would still need a sunny location, but it comes down to that. Do you have a room you don't use that you can have it cooler than the rest of the house and slow the plants down so that they're still alive, but they're not growing? They're not, you know, they don't drop all their leaves. They just kind of stop growing and sit there and wait till spring. And then once the temperatures warm up, they, you know, you'll probably want to do some serious pruning at some point and then back out into the sun. So, yeah, if you can't get family members to take them, I know it's challenging. Sometimes I recommend, you know, like the library or, you know what I mean, like the hospital, somewhere where there's some sun. See if there's somebody who might take one off your hands if it comes to that.
Yeah, I guess. How far back do I cut them before I bring them in? Well, does my husband cut them?
Are they blooming right now?
They still have blooms on them, but the wind last week really knocked most of the blooms off. So
I see. Oh, but, okay. Yeah, the wind was very windy at my place. Was it yesterday or the day before? It was like, hurricane force winds. All right. Yeah. So this isn't the optimal time to cut plants back. They are naturally slowing down. Days are shorter. Everything's cooler. When we prune plants, we encourage them to grow. So pruning now is going to send the wrong message to the plants because really what they want to do is just be left alone and hunker down and have a little nap. If you can bring them in unpruned, I would, and then do whatever you're going to do with them for the winter. And then in the spring, like in March, when the days are noticeably longer, the plants are really starting to perk up inside our homes, that's when you can cut the whole thing back by a third.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Kathy.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay. The numbers to call us, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And I have it on good authority, Charlie, that from Anthony, our producer, that our next caller is a first-time caller. Welcome to the Garden Show, Liz from Toronto. How are you, Liz?
Good, thank you.
Good. You're going to give your garden wings for being a first-time caller. Okay, there you are. Welcome to the Garden Show.
Oh, thank you. First of all, thank you for the tip about not raking leaves, because my husband has on his to-do list this weekend that I should rake and bag the leaves. So now he and I can take turns mowing them. So that's great. I am actually a wannabe gardener, and I was wondering if I should just wait till the spring or if there's anything at all I can plant in the fall that will spring up in the spring, or am I just too late?
No, well, if you're in Toronto, you could certainly get a hold of some spring bulbs tulips or daffodils or hyacinths, anything like that, and plant them now for beauty in the spring. So that is an option for sure. But try and do that, you know, soon, like today, if you can.
No, this weekend. But if, which ones, we don't have a lot of space where there's total sun. So we have a lot of partial sun.
You mentioned leaves. In the spring, before the leaves grow on the trees, we have a lot more sun. And then, of course, as the leaves grow, the yards get shadier. So don't hesitate to plant under a maple tree, because even though it's a deep shade in July, it's nice and bright and sunny in April.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to tune in every week. Thanks,
Liz. Okay. And thanks, you know, so what's one other thing, if Liz is still listening, and of course, this is one of your favorites too, Dean, amaryllis. Amaryllis or paper whites. I don't know if anybody, we haven't really talked about paper whites much.
Yeah.
Paper whites are a form of narcissus that will bloom in your house. Amaryllis, of course, is, again, a tender bulb that we plant to have it bloom in our house. So it's a great time of year just to get that. You know, it's a beautiful day today. I'm not missing flowers, but ask me in a month when it's all gray and not very pretty out there, and I'm going to really appreciate having some blooms indoors.
Yeah. Is it too late outside to plant things like allium? Have we missed the window there? Is it still?
If you can get them, there's probably not a lot out there to buy at this point. Generally, I find the garden centers don't carry a large quantity of allium, and they go pretty quick.
Gotcha. Okay, fair enough. Let's go to our next caller. We have Camille on the line calling from Scarborough. Welcome to the Garden Show, Camille.
Oh, thank you. I have a suggestion for keeping squirrels off of plants. I garden in very large plastic containers, and what I do is, after I planted the plant, I buy these grids, black grids is the only way I can describe them, from a dollar store, and they can cut to size. So I put them all around and the squirrels keep away from them. They'll go, and then they realize, because they've got spiky plastic.
They're sharp,
small, that they don't like for their paws. And then what I do in the fall when I'm taking my plants out, I put those grids back in, and then I take two plastic, very heavy plastic leaf bags, and I put it over the planters, each one, and then I put bricks around to hold it down. Now, what that does is it keeps the water out of the containers. So, when I go to plant, I wait until it's at least 10 degrees at night, because I really just do grape tomatoes and basil. And then when I take the plastic off, the soil is so warm, it's unbelievable, because they're in full sun, right? And they didn't to thaw out. They didn't have to thaw, you know, the frozen soil didn't have to thaw out. It was all taken care of. So really, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I've been doing this for approximately 7 years. So
you know, those little grid things, I've certainly seen them at the dollar store, and they are like little tiles, and you snap them together. I think the original intention behind those was to keep cats out of your garden from using your garden as a litter box.
Yeah.
But certainly works for squirrels too, which is great. Good idea.
And
the black, the dark plastic over your pots is a great way to jumpstart your season. I mean, you can be out there probably planting your tomatoes well before anybody else if you can make sure you can protect them at night from any cold nights. But with the soil all warmed up like that, why not?
But I use clear plastic. Actually, they're clear plastic.
Oh, it is? Okay.
The black plastic. And also, the grids are good. I used to, I have a bird bath, and raccoons were always knocking it over, trying to get onto it. And so what I did was, leading up to where they would go, I put these plastic grids, and I didn't have any more. I only figured that one out this year. they're very versatile. You can cut them to shape. I mean, to me, they're worth everything. I never have to worry about, you know, dirt. I have them on my deck, these planters. I don't have to worry about, you know, cleaning up the deck from the soil and being mad at the squirrels, because they stay away. It's like they teach each other to stay away. It's amazing. So anyway, that's my suggestion.
Love it. Great. Thank you very much, Camille. We love it. Yeah, because certainly squirrels especially are something that comes up on the Garden Show. That's a topic that comes up a
lot. Regularly, yes.
Yes. And so we like to have those little tips. Again, the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. I think we have time to take another caller before we go to our next commercial break. Let's go to Jody in Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jody.
Good morning. I am calling about my clematis. I planted it for the first time last year, and it's about 12 feet high now on the trellis.
Oh,
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful red velvet one. It just looks like red velvet material. But yes, it has grown so lovely. But I don't know, am I supposed to cut it down for the winter or just leave it?
Leave it. Leave it alone. And when you say red, so is the name actually red velvet, or is it, it just reminds you of?
Oh, it looks like red velvet material. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, so the thing about clematis is that they're grouped into different categories depending on when they flower and what the flowers look like. Most clematis that we grow here in Ontario are what we call summer blooming. So they have these big kind of, looks like the size of your hand, star-shaped flowers. Jack Manny is the most classic, sort of a purple-blue color, but there's whites and pinks and reds and all kinds of colors of the summer flowering. So what we do with those is enjoy them as you did. If you can leave it alone all winter, leave it alone. Don't touch it. Let it do its thing. It will all look very dead in the spring, but it's not. So your job in the spring, and you put this in your calendar right now, is that in the spring, on a nice day when things are starting to wake up and the birds are singing and you want to do something, look at your clematis and you will see little tiny buds. Look at the bottom of the plant down at the base. Little, they're like the size of mouse ears. They come in pairs and they will be just kind of gray and fuzzy, greenish gray color. You'll get out your loppers or your pruners and you'll just prune right through. You'll take, you know, 11 and a half feet are going to come down off that plant into the compost, and you're going to be leaving 4 to 6 inches at the base. But in the spring, when you see those little buds starting to grow, and what will happen is the plant will be twice as bushy or three times as bushy next year as it was this year, but it'll likely still grow to 12 feet tall and be covered in flowers.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me know, because neighbors are saying, well, cut it down now. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Oh, thank you so much, Charlie. Yes.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks so much for the call there,
Charlie. Don't hesitate to call.
Yeah. It's tricky sometimes to know when to, I find anyway, there's certain things that you cut down in the fall, certain things that you trim back in the spring. And sometimes you hard cut them all the way down. Sometimes that you don't do that. It's a bit tricky.
It is. Well, that's the challenge, definitely, of getting mixed gardening things. And of course, like Jody's discovered, there's always neighbors who want to jump in and give you suggestions. So, you know, sometimes a quick Google search. Remember, if you are searching gardening techniques, always look for Ontario-based techniques. And I think I've mentioned before, I do most of my pruning in the spring. At this time of year, I cut down my peonies. I've done that. Peonies are all down only an inch tall so that I don't have to think about them again. They will just come up early in the spring. And this is a great time of year, I find, with my trees and my shrubs. The leaves have dropped and I can really see the structure of the branches. And this is a really, really good time on a nice day like today, dry day, to look for crisscrossing branches that we didn't see all summer because of all the leaves. So anything that's crisscrossed, of course, we don't want that. We don't want trees or shrubs damaging themselves with rubbing branches together. So look for anything that looks diseased, anything that's damaged, or anything that's dead can be removed now and anytime, actually. But now is just a great time. If you've got nice sharp pruners in your hands and you want to get some, clean up some stuff, it's a great time to do it. And look at which way that the branches are going to grow in the spring. Make sure things are growing to the outside of the plant, not to the inside. So again, look for those branches that are growing in the wrong directions. Remove them now.
Okie dokie. Okay, we are going to our next break. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we're back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, a quick update about the podcast version of the show, right?
Right. So podcasting, as I'm sure everybody now knows, is just a repeat of the show available at your convenience to listen to through, you know, your phone, your computer, whatever. You don't need an iPod to listen to a podcast. So the bottom line is we had some kind of a glitch in the system. Podcasts were not available, but they are now all back. So for any of you who like to re-listen to a show, missed something, want to catch it again, or you live far, far away and your only way of listening is through podcasts, we should be good to go. All the shows are available.
Fabulous. And despite what Dean has said at the beginning of the show, call early. We've all waited till the end. So let's quickly go to Mark in Brampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey, morning. Good. What do you got for Charlie?
Morning. Quick question. I have a rose channel. I know you've said in the past not to cut it back in the fall, but it's bent over so far, I think the snow will, ruin it. What should I cut it back or just leave it?
Why is it bent over so far? What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm assuming there's different types of Rose of Sharon's, right?
Not really, but different colors, yeah.
Okay, well, this, I don't know why it's bent over. There's, huge...
It's from that hard rain.
There's huge, bulbs on it or something like that, I guess.
Yeah, those are the fruits.
Flower?
They were the flowers, now they're the fruits.
Okay.
So is this a tree or multi-stems?
I'm going to say multi-stem, not a tree.
So it's like a big shrub.
Yeah.
But it flowers so heavily, it sounds like it just kind of fell over by the weight of the flowers, maybe?
Basically, yep.
Okay. You know what? So I agree with you. Don't leave. It probably doesn't look very good either.
No.
Today's a great day, certainly in my house, nice and crispy and clear. Get out there with some sharp tools. Cut it back enough so that it's standing up.
Okay. So maybe a foot or something-ish?
What was that?
Maybe a foot?
Yeah. I mean, you might. Yeah. If it's 8 feet tall
It's probably about 7 feet tall.
Yeah. Really, you probably want it to be about 3 feet tall. So assuming it's dropped all its leaves and it is dormant, I mean, technically, yes, you could cut it right back to 3 feet tall today if you want. I just typically like to prune them in the spring, but you can prune them now.
And then just all your shows, and I remember you guys said that, and it's like, okay. But, okay, so I can still cut it back now, and it still be probably okay.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. But just look, when you're pruning, look at each stem, look at little bumps on the stem. Prune so that the bumps are on the outside of the plant so that your next growth next spring will grow to the outside.
Okay.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks for the call there, Mark. Okay, let's jump right to Julie in St. Catharines. Welcome to the Garden Show, Julie.
Thank you. A quick question. The city gave us free trees a couple of weeks ago, and I got a service berry. Now, I don't know exactly where to plant it, and I'm just wondering if I can overwinter it in a garage and plant it in the spring.
Is it in a pot?
Yes.
Okay. I would not overwinter in a garage. I would prefer to overwinter it outside in its pot, but you need to bury the pot somewhere.
Bury the pot?
Yeah. Like, do you have a vegetable garden or an area where you plant flowers? It's just empty right now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so just dig a hole into that garden, leave the service berry in the pot, drop it pot and all into the hole, firm the soil up around the service berry so that the soil is roughly level in the pot as your garden soil level. Give it a watering into the pot. I assume the pot has drainage holes. This doesn't work if there's no drainage holes, but I'm sure it does. Give it a thorough watering and then just leave it alone. Pull it up in the spring and think about it all winter where you're going to give its final planting.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go quickly to Alice in North York. Welcome to the Garden Show, Alice.
Good morning, Charlie and Dean. I'd like some information regarding putting my tubers away, the dahlias.
Mm-hmm. So have you dug them?
I have dug them. I've left them stay overnight outside the whole day and overnight, and I just brought them in so I can package them and put them away for the winter.
Yeah, so just with your hands, gently rub off any chunks of soil so that they're not perfectly clean. You're not going to wash them or brush them or anything like that, but just, you know, loosen off any of the soil that might still be attached to them. And then what you need is a waterproof box of some kind. It could be a cardboard box with a plastic bag. It could be a Rubbermaid tub, something like that. You need to fill your box with sterile media. So anything could be sterile media that's sterile. So it could be, you go to the store, you buy some peat moss, or you buy just perlite or vermiculite, or even a nice unused high quality potting mix, which is peat based. And but sterile is the operative word there. So it hasn't been used in the garden with any plants whatsoever. You fill that into your box. Bury your dahlias down under the media. Have a little spritzer standing by. You may need to do a little spritzing just to, you don't want them bone dry, but you don't want them wet either. And then close up your box, put it somewhere dark, cool, and you should be fine for the winter, but do check every month or so just to make sure they're not too dry or too wet.
Can I do the same thing for the small dahlias? You know, the ones that they use in pots and in borders?
That you bought as little dahlia plants?
Yes.
You know what? Good question. Dig one up and see if there is a tuber attached. Some there are. It's funny. It's like begonias, right? Some begonias have a tuber and some just have roots. If there's no tuber, then forget it. It's compost. But if there's something there to preserve, then sure, why not?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Charlie. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for the call there, Alice. Okay, we're going to go to our next break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
It is exclusively on Zoomer Radio, indeed, and available via podcast, as we talked about, if you want to listen to the show all over again because you missed some of the information. I'm just going to, before I forget, again, if you have something that you'd like to send Charlie via email, like a photograph, her email is c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Joan on the line from, just down the road from yours truly, from Nottawa. Welcome to The Garden Show, Joan.
Hi, good morning, Dean. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Nice to morning. Talk to you. My question is about my cedar hedge. I have a cedar hedge that's about 20 years old, and it's been trimmed every year, but it's gradually got taller and taller. So it's about 6 feet tall now, and I'd like to get it back down to about 4 feet tall. I've asked a couple of people if they would do that for me, and they said, no, it would look terrible. And I wondered what you thought, Charlie.
Well, it depends if it's really sort of scraggly and scrawny now, or if it's nice and solid green.
Nice, solid green and healthy. I wouldn't trim it this time of the year. I'd wait till the spring, but just wondered if it is possible to take it back down to 4 feet.
From 6 feet. I mean, it's amazing you've kept it that under control. If it's 20 years old, that's amazing, because most people, the hedges go out of control and they're 20 feet tall. So if you take the top off, like the top 2 feet off that hedge, it will be naked cut stems. And since it's only going to be 4 feet tall, it's going to be very obvious to anybody standing near the plants. However, if you do that cutting in late May, early June, new growth should fill in and cover what will be initially very unattractive, but it should fill in at the top there. Meanwhile, remember, you are going to be trimming the sides in the spring as well, so that will also encourage new growth at the top.
Okay, good. Well, okay. I would like to do it. Hopefully I can get someone that'll help me out with this.
Okay. Yeah, and also remember, just again, to encourage that fresh new growth, top dress with some composted manure, or, you know, the synthetic cedar feeder. There's, you know, different fertilizers out there. Don't do everything in the world. Just pick one, but feed when you're doing all that pruning. I think, again, you'll find it'll just, you know, jump right back in.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks Joan.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Let's go right to Sue in Beamsville. Welcome to The Garden Show, Sue.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Good. I have a question about herbs. I'm trying to bring them in, a couple of them, to winter, and I'm having a bit of difficulty with one called a boxwood basil. It's not responding to being brought in. It's dying back, and I wondered if there's anything special I should do.
Was it in the ground or in a pot?
It was in a big container that I have herbs in. So ground, yes.
So you've dug it out of the big container and put it in a smaller container now?
Yes.
Okay. And it's responding by dropping leaves?
Yep. And a lot of the branches have died right back. I've got one spindly branch that is hanging on, but I don't know for how long.
So basil is a tricky one. They do not like the cold, so they will very quickly die down in cool weather. They will also are very easy to overwater. As the days get shorter, the plants are growing so much more slowly. It's very easy to watch them turn black and turn to mush because of too much water and too cool of temperatures. My impulse, I mean, you could try, just bring it in, put it in a nice, no hot drafts, but just put it in a nice sunny location. Yeah, keep the drafts away. Don't water it. You may see that you'll get some new fresh growth coming from the base. But even simpler than that is maybe start some new basil. If you've got a nice sunny spot inside the home, start some seeds and get yourself growing some basil that's ready to grow inside anyway, rather than fighting with something that's, you know, fighting with you and saying, no, I want to be outside.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the call there, Sue. We're going to try really hard to get to this one last caller. We have Gabrielle on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Gabrielle.
Hi.
Hi, Rudy. We got to be quick, Gabrielle. What do you got?
Okay, I have hyacinths that are starting to come back, but they have just little leaves and the bud is inside. I can see the little white buds coming out. What do I do? Do I buy vitamins for them or?
Are they outside, I assume? They're not inside, are they?
I always keep my house plants inside.
Okay. So
they've been inside all summer, and they're starting to grow.
Sweet. Well, okay, interesting. Usually hyacinths will die down, have a dormant period, and then come back in the spring. It sounds like your hyacinths are just ready to go. So yes, vitamins, fertilizer, bright sun, and enjoy. You're going to have hyacinths blooming, it sounds like, for Christmas.
Okay, there we are, and we've run out of runway there. We got we got Gabrielle in, and here we are. We're in our last 30 seconds of showtime.
Good job. I think we broke records there with the number of calls we got through there, Dean and Anthony.
Okay,
and, here we are. Yeah, so I've got work to do. I'm still rolling hoses up. Yep. And I've been hesitating because it's been very dry at my house, and I kept thinking I might water, and yet I haven't watered because I just haven't felt comfortable using my limited water. And we have rain in the forecast tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited about that. So I think it's good night and good riddance to the hoses for the next few months.
Good. I think it's about an 80% chance of rain, so it's a good shot at it.
Yeah, pray for rain because the evergreens particularly, we never want the ground to freeze without good moisture level. So that's what I'm hoping for. And carry on with my chores and you guys carry on with yours. Thank you very much, Dean. Always nice to chat on the Garden Show. And Anthony, couldn't do any of this without you. Thanks to the great callers as well. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.